Hello and welcome to the fourth episode of the Content School podcast. Coming up on this episode, we get to chat with the business team about their absolutely phenomenal victory in their business challenge. And we also get the long-awaited interview of Mr. Strickland and Mr. Kizzy. Enjoy.
Welcome, team. So could you tell us something about what this challenge really is about and then what you guys actually do individually, okay, in terms of putting this task together?
We were put in a competition at the beginning of this whole project and journey. It involved many other groups within the Compton, and NatWest came in. They brought a couple workers from HQ, and they came over to our school with a challenge, and we had to create a university in Singapore. And now NatWest had a partnership with UCFB, which is University of Football, College and Business. We had to create a university based on football and business and sporting in a Asian country of our choice, because they really wanted to expand not only in England, where they had Wembley, Etihad and Turf Moor, but they wanted to make it an international corporation. So we chose Singapore on the day, mainly because it was a sporting hub. They had a really high potential when it comes to profits, not only for the business, but for the potential customers we're going to get as well. They're a newly emerging economy, which basically means that they're not at a developed stage, as in like the United States of America, or they're not as poorly developed as in, say, Syria or Ghana, but they are at a stage in their, say, economical life where they can really prosper and engage with other trades in different countries. We chose Singapore based on solely on that reason.
Talking about teamwork, how well do you think your team is working together? Can you tell us some of the best moments, and do you guys have any arguments in this process?
Throughout the whole thing, it was very much a roller coaster of how well our team was working. Sometimes it worked really, really well, and we had like a really good energy. So especially, I'd say, on the first day of the competition, the one that Hideki was talking about when it was just internally in the school, and as well on the day in the NatWest headquarters on the final. But in between, it was very up and down. So we had quite a few arguments, a meeting in Starbucks where the team didn't turn up for like an hour and I was the only one there. And we've had a lot of arguments about who should be project manager, and yeah, the WhatsApp group's taken a beating, but we made it through and we still won the final, so it can't have been that bad. The judges on the day said that they thought that we must have been friends in real life because we had such a good energy in our pitch. So that's pretty much indicates how well we worked.
Okay, thank you. Yashvi and Musma, would you like to make some comments about your team as well?
We all worked really well together. We all had our different groups that we were working on, like design, marketing, finance, and we all worked together, not just the finance person didn't just work on his own thing. He also came into the marketing and well. Marketing came into the finance, and we all worked together to put in our whole project.
Yeah, I think building on what Ms. Mao said, that we all tried to help each other, and there was a lot of finances, which Damon...
Which Damon...
We have Damon out on. Oh yeah, Damon can't be here, by the way. He's at a 40-minute detention.
Can you also tell us something about the final? Because I know that it's very, very competitive. And then there's a very interesting story about when they announced the places.
We arrived at NatWest HQ in Bishopsgate, really excited, really confident and really well prepared. Now, we've rehearsed and practiced our pitch to, I'd say, the head teacher billions of times, to different staff and departments, and we felt really confident moving forward into the national competition. We arrived at the HQ, we practiced for a bit, and we were actually the first group to pitch to two of their judging panels. And that went really well. We were bang on our 4-minute limit. And we just went outside, just took a chill break at Pret a Manger.
Yeah.
We were just, you know, really confident. It was a beautiful day, really nice, sunny, stupendous weather. Came to the final top 10. Now, the top 10 can pitch to, I'd say, about 232 people on the day, and I'd say emotional final part of the final, because no team was told whether they'd be in the top 10. I think one of our guest judges, called James Sinclair, he just randomly said who the top 10 was, and then they had to go straight to the front and pitch. Now, we were really emotional about that because our pitch was splendid and we thought we put in so much effort. If we weren't in the top 10 final, we would have been absolutely devastated. We were, luckily, you know, we were in the top 10 and we performed immaculately. I don't think we've had any errors. I think there were maybe one or two complications about how to hold the board properly, but I'd say overall it was absolutely fantastic. The team, I don't think we've worked so cohesively in any other pitch we've done, so that was the best pitch. However, when we came to the top three, when they announced top three winners, we were announced third, and that was really eye-opening for us, but in a bad way, because we really thought we outperformed the other teams, and you know, in all respect, they probably put a lot of effort into this. We thought we should have won this competition. So we came out third, went to the front of the hall, and we were given our award. We were absolutely devastated that we came third. But then James Sinclair, our guest, said that we came first. There was a misunderstanding, there was a mistake. We were first and here we are now, happy ever after. I'd say it's been a really emotional day.
Yeah, well, if you want to try and imagine what it was like when they had the mix-up between third and first, just imagine that Oscars where they announced La La Land was best picture and then it turned out to be Moonlight. That was basically exactly what it was like. And we have this really funny photo that Miss Chu took from the back when we were standing there with our third place certificates. We were trying to bust fake smiles, but they were just really awful. You could just see everyone was so upset about it. And then, yes, it was really great when they changed it to first. And yeah, as for hiccups in the final pitch, some of the things that Hideki talked about, the signs being upside down. So I was trying to talk about the branding with Mizuma holding our logo upside down, which gained us a few laughs. But we also had, for me specifically, got to the front in front of this like 200 people and put my hands in my pockets to get my cue cards. And they weren't there and I left them in my seat, but I couldn't go back all the way up now. So I just thought, oh my God, I'm going to have to wing it. But luckily, because we rehearsed so much, I knew it and it was okay. And no one noticed.
Yeah, and everyone said that they can't really tell that you haven't got your script with you. So well done for that. So Yashvi and Musma, would you like to make some comments on this one as well?
Going back to when we were practicing for the pitch, our pitches started off so long. Like how we had three...
It's like 6 minutes.
Our original pitch was 6 minutes long and we had to cut it down to four minutes. Bearing in mind there was Damon going through all the finances, Ruby going through all the branding, I was going through the marketing, and Mizuma going through all the courses, Hideki going through why we should win. So there was a lot to go through. And then we finally cut it down to... We were like bang on time, to be honest. Bang on 4 minutes.
Yeah, so what's next then? So I heard that you guys won yourself some really fantastic opportunities. So can you tell us something about that?
Well, one of the things we got was the NatWest 1 week internship. Also going back to the day, there was one famous thing that we were always still talk about. It was Damon's speech just before going into the pitches. He said a few words. He said, walk in and pitch. And that's literally what we did. We go to Wembley, pitch to the board of directors about why they should do Singapore. And they said that they will take us very seriously because they really liked our idea.
Finally, could you tell us some sort of suggestions on the next year's students? So if there's one or two things that you are going to take away from this competition, what do you think that might be?
Effort is one of the biggest things. Positivity is another. You know, when things don't go as well, say your pitch being too long, you can't remember your pitch. Practice, practice, practice. You know, we came back, I'd say until 6 o'clock, a couple days. We practiced so hard. Utilize all of your departments in the whole school. That's the best way that you can not only gain an advantage within the other schools in that competition, but again, shows the work ethic you have. Finally, I'd say don't give up, because that's the biggest thing. You know, you might be scared that other schools might be having a better pitch than yours, because they do come from Scotland, they come from, I'd say, Burnley, Brighton, Liverpool, Manchester, anywhere you could think of in Britain. On the day there were 70 schools. But don't give up. Think that your pitch is the one. And yeah, just live life.
Yeah, stay confident and don't give up. Okay, thank you, Hideki. And Ruby, how about you?
The main thing that I would say is that the first thing you have to do in the whole thing when you're just going to apply to do it within the school, the first thing you will have to do is assemble your team. So I think this is really important and it could be overlooked because you think, oh, we'll just pick like five of my friends. But the thing is that if you just pick five people and they're all in the same business class, then you're just going to end up with a load of businessmen and women. you know, you're not going to be very well-rounded. I think one of the strengths that we had in our team, and this was quite highlighted in Hideki's part of our pitch about why we deserve to win, was that we had people from like every department that you would need in business. So we had people who did economics, we had people who did business, me who does art to do the branding, we had maths and accounting. So, you know, we covered all the bases, and I think that really showed in how strong our overall concept was. So definitely pick your team carefully.
This isn't something you can do just overnight. It isn't something that you can spend a day or two on. It's something that you have to work on quite a lot, weeks and week out. And there are going to be times where you're going to think you don't have enough time to complete everything. But if you take your time and plan it all first, know what you're going to do, when you're going to do it, how you're going to do it, it will all come together at the end. And at the last minute, you'll have your pitch perfect, everything will be there and done.
The main thing that we did was believe in our team. So although there was ups and downs, as we mentioned, we did believe in our team to the end. And we went in with a mentality that we were going to win, that our pitch was perfect, there's nothing wrong with it, and we came out winning.
Well done, team, and then all the best of luck for your upcoming pitch at Wembley, and hopefully you're going to learn a lot more from your internship at NatWest in the summer. Thank you.
Strickland here with my esteemed colleague, Mr. Kizzy. We're just going to have a bit of a chat, just find out a little more about where Mr. Kizzy's going in his future plans, where he's come from, where he's moving towards. You've been at Compton for about 3 years. And, you know, obviously, when we interviewed you 3 years ago, we saw kind of a handsome young man. We saw a very professional young man. We saw someone who we knew would go on to be an outstanding teacher. And we also know that in the background that you were playing for Chesnut at the time. Mm-hmm. So maybe give us a bit of context as to how you got to play for Chesnut, and then how you then subsequently over the last 3 years, because I think it's quite an astronomical rise from going Chesnut, Wingate, Finchley. I think you played about like 1.5 games for Wingate and Finchley, and then got a different offer and then moved on. But just how you got yourself to the position that you're at now.
If I start right at the beginning, kind of obviously after playing at kind of youth level football, I joined a team called Broomfield FC, who were like one of my mates' dad's teams. Like it was like an old boys team type thing. Mm. And we were just playing for fun more than anything. And then one of our mates said, oh, I'm down at this team called Eton Manor. Come down and train. Like there's a new manager in, he's getting players to come down. And he wants to have a look at people. So we just thought, there was three, four of us. We thought, oh, if we all go play at a higher standard. It was in the Essex Senior League at the time. And then went down there, like got in, like played pretty well. That was my first experience in non-league football. Stayed a year there. And then I think I was about 19 at the time. And then that summer I went to Ibiza, and then I'm not going to tell you about Ibiza, but when I come back, basically the manager had left and most of the players had kind of gone as well because the manager had work commitments, he couldn't carry on the team. So there was essentially no team. So I had no team. It was about 2 weeks before the season started. And then one of the boys who had gone to a team called Waltham Abbey was like, oh, come down to Waltham Abbey. I think this was one league above now. He said the manager will have a look at you. So it was my first pre-season game about 3-4 days after I come back off holiday in Ibiza, and I played terrible, like really bad game, like balls were getting put in behind me. I played half. It was a roasting hot day on an Astro as well, so it weren't the ideal kind of situation. But then somehow he stuck with me. His name's Paul Wickenden, a really nice guy. I stayed with him obviously at Waltham Abbey that year, had a really good year. Then moved to Chesnut the next year, which was the year that I obviously joined the Compton. And then again, was at Chesnut for a year. They put me on contract there. So I was there for the whole year. And then during that time, again, had a good season. Wingate and Finchley were sniffing. They were interested. I didn't join them that year, I don't think. I joined them the next year. So I'd done 2 years at Chesnut. Had an average season in terms of the teams where they ended and stuff. Like we didn't make playoffs or anything like that. But once I made the move to Wingate, which again was just around the corner, and obviously it was the highest I'd played, and I was keen to make a good start, had a really good start to the season. And obviously you guys come down and watched obviously a couple games. A lot of the kids come down and watched a few games because they knew that I only played up the road. So I'd like my year 10 GCSE class, all in the stands, like shouting, screaming. And like, obviously it was weird because I had to be a bit conscious about what I was saying on the pitch, because tempers do fray on the pitch and certain language could get thrown out on the pitch. And I knew that there was a group of students over there, so I didn't feel pressure in any way. It was just, it was weird, but it was nice. Like, they were making the effort to come down and watch, which was cool.
And it was positive, wasn't it? Like, I remember kind of being there, and it was a really positive experience for those students. I think, kind of in terms of role modelling, you know, in schools we always talk about the importance of being a role model, being a positive influence on other people. Actually, for me, kind of working in PE, seeing students have access to good quality sporting competition, which is just up the road. I think for many students, it might have been the only opportunity they've gone to see a high quality live football match. But to then see somebody that they have a day-to-day contact with, kind of conducting themselves, kind of applying themselves in that sort of contest, I think it's actually kind of had a really positive knock-on effect to kind of how students went about their business in school. So I think plaudits to you, really.
Yeah, no, it was good to see them. And obviously, to have that, a lot of the boys especially that we teach in here, they all love their football. So to have that in common with them and to talk about it with them, it kind of has a knock-on effect in the classroom. Like, it's a lot more easier to teach them. Like, they all respect you a lot more almost. So it made kind of teaching a lot less of kind of an ache, if you like, in terms of behaviour and stuff like that, because they'd all just want to be good for you. But yeah, and then after Wingate, I was there, like you said, not for long. I signed in the August and I left by November because Billy Ricky came in.
Hunting the money.
Billy Ricky provided a handsome offer, which, and obviously it was a league above.
Yeah.
No, they weren't. It was the same league, but they were pushing for promotion. They were top of the league at the time. And I almost didn't go, but I thought, you know what, there's no growth in comfort, as I was once told by one of my ex-managers. So I thought, I'll give it a go. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. It's a little bit more travel, obviously, but it ended up being a great season. We won the treble. We won the league.
Weren't you playing with a Champions League winner?
Yeah,
did he win it? Was he? Jermaine Pennant?
Jermaine Pennant. He was runner up. It was that we lost it. Yeah.
Was that Liverpool?
Yeah, Liverpool lost. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we had Jermaine Pennant. Jamie O'Hara was there. Paul Konchesky was there. And I remember going in for my first day, and obviously, the chairman at the time, he made us sing the song, R. Kelly, the world's greatest, before every game.
I don't think anybody in this room knows that song. Could you?
No, I'm not going to give us a rendition, but you know, you can YouTube it. But I remember going in my first day, I couldn't play because it was the FA Cup and I was cup tied. But I was in the changing room because Glenn wanted me to go down there and kind of meet everyone. And then I found myself before the game, kind of stood in between like Paul Konchesky and Jermaine Pennant, belting out the words to R. Kelly's World's Greatest.
So you've got like an FA Cup winner or finalist on your right-hand side, England international. You've got an England international.
Me in the middle.
Harry Kane's best friend in the middle. Like, it seems like you're in perfect company.
That was special. But, you know, it was a good year. And like, we had a great season that year, like got promoted. And then obviously last year in the Conference South, I personally had a really good year. As a team, we just fell short of the playoffs, but I'd done enough to kind of attract interest from other clubs, which is where obviously Bromley came in. I had meetings with different clubs, but Bromley were like, they're really ambitious, and they're doing, like, they're signing a lot of players this year, and they look like they want to kind of at least get into the playoffs, which would be great. You know, the playoff final was played at like Wembley Stadium, so if we get there, it would be like a dream. But yeah, so that's kind of it, really. Like, non-league is like, and going back to the point you said before, like, I know people that have like kind of got released from academies and they think that kind of it's all over and they've just fallen out of love with football and stopped playing. But non-league's just massive for, like, if you have a good season, you can, so it's so easy to just jump up the leagues. And you know, you earn a little bit of money on your way. Like, you at the start, like, you get a bit of money to cover your petrol or whatever, travel to games, but at the end of the day, you'll be getting money to play football, which if you're playing at that level, you obviously love football. So it's good. And I've always said, I was Louis Uday, who was ex-student, he came down to the office yesterday. I was speaking to him and he was just asking for advice and he wants to get involved or whatnot. And he was saying about his studies, about he's going to have a gap year to kind of get into football. And I was honest with him. I said, don't like kind of sacrifice anything education-wise to play non-league football, as great as it is and as great as you can kind of work your way up in the leagues, you have to have a plan B. Like, you have to have something to fall back on. And like with me, I made sure that I'd got my degree, I got my teacher training done, and I had that kind of there always. So then I could then go and take more risks with my football. I would never have been able to like jump into non-league football and just do that instead of going to get an education, because it can all end very quickly. Like things with injuries, or you might not make it. It's certain managers won't really have you, and kind of things like that. But a lot of it is luck. A lot of it's hard work as well. But I'd always, one bit of advice that I'd say to anyone was make sure you go and get your, make sure you, obviously your studies are first and foremost, whether it's GCSEs, A-levels and uni, sort yourself out there, because you won't be able to play football forever. And the money in non-league isn't enough to go and live on alone. So, and it's still a very like small percentage of people that make it to the kind of big times in the actual professional league.
Thank you for listening to the final episode of the Common School podcast for this academic year. As a whole school, we want to say massive, massive good luck to Mr. Kizzy on his footballing journey. We are so proud and we are so happy to have had you as a teacher at the school. I'm sure everyone is really, really, really wishing you well. We will see you in the Champions League final in 4 years' time, we hope, or even sooner. Thanks everyone for listening. Once again, if you'd like to get involved, come talk to Mr. Janne Klausner or Mr. Pluck. Looking forward to seeing you in the new year.